Well, hello, welcome, good morning, Fields Church. We're so glad you're here. Charleston, hey, welcome. We're so glad you're here. Remember, we are one church in two different locations. We might be in two different rooms today, but we are definitely one church. Love what's happening in Charleston and here across in Mattoon. God is doing great things through your lives and through your ministry. Speaking of that, I just want to say thank you to our amazing Dream Team members, everyone who is serving. We couldn't do it without you. If you're wondering, what is a dream team? A dream team is it's anybody serving on a Sunday. That could be those up on stage. That's all of our creative arts team. That could be all of our guest service people welcoming them here. That could be all of our kids ministry, youth ministry, anybody that's serving around here. That's our dream team because we know that you guys make the dream happen. And trust me, we can't do what we do without you. So thank you so much. It was last week, I literally pulled one of our dream team members aside, and she was just working the area where people were sitting, and she was just making everyone feel so welcome. I just pulled her aside and said, thank you. Thank you for carrying out the values of we value people. And we want everyone to have such a welcoming environment and when they come in here. And she was knocking it out of the park. All of our Dream Team members are knocking it out of the park. So thank you on my behalf as pastor. Like, thank you so much for giving and serving. If you're not serving and want to serve, you actually could go to the Fields Guide on your phone. And there's going to be, you can just click on, I want to serve. Because you know, if you're not serving, you don't know the enjoyment that everyone's getting when they serve around here and the reward it is making a difference in people's lives. So I know that you are a 10 somewhere and that God has designed you to serve on one of our teams in some capacity. So why don't you just explore that? By clicking on I want to serve, you're really just saying I'm ready to explore some of my options. So we would love you to be able to do that. So let's dive into the teaching today. We're in the middle of a series called Won't You Be My Neighbor? And the reason it's entitled that is because we know how important it is being a good neighbor. Like, we've been diving into this and talking about this and to be caring and to be compassionate for people right here in church, your neighbor right across the aisle here. It could be your neighbor that lives literally across the fence or across town, or a neighbor's in the next town over, or our neighbors across the world. We know how important it is to care for them. And in fact, for the last 2 years, we have been, we've just kind of had this umbrella vision to say, we are collectively going to make a difference in a lot of neighbors' lives. And in fact, that's what we call our entire financial initiative, is for our neighbors. We want everyone to know that we are for our neighbors. And so when you give to the Fields Church, you know, even if you give online, it'll say for our neighbors giving, because we want the mission to be in front of us. So we have about 10 months left of this two-year initiative, and I want you to know that we can finish strong and we can do an amazing work in so many people's lives as we continue to financially give and generously give, and that we will make a difference in our neighbors' lives. We will be able to share just generosity and really just care about people, and it'll be, it's exactly what we've designed to do, is God created us to live for not just ourselves, but for our neighbors. And that's why we're in the middle of this series, is to talk about that. Well, you know, like, won't you be my neighbor? We need to be good neighbors, right? We need to be good people who understand how to care for people. So that's why we started in the very beginning, in the very first the week of this series, is how to be a good neighbor through acts of service and caring for one another. And I taught on Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And then the week later, we talked about the big invitation to this kingdom party, this heavenly party, and how you and I are all part of inviting people into God's kingdom and making an invitation saying, hey, there's room for you at the table. And so that this week we're going to be talking about how we need to be really focusing on people more than possessions. And I'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a few moments, about how we just need to quit trying to keep up with the Joneses. And then next week, you'll want to come back. We're going to talk about what's it look like to really care about that lonely neighbor that might be in our life. And then after that, we're going to talk about how to deal with the offended neighbor. So a couple good weeks in front of us that you'll want to come back for. And so when we ask this question, won't you be my neighbor? It's you know, are we good neighbors to the people around us and to the people around the world? So once you be my neighbor this week, let's talk about it. Are we trying to keep up with the Joneses? Have you ever heard that before? Have you ever heard of like the comparison and, man, look at what my neighbor's got. I need to have what they've got. And we look at all this new stuff that's around us and it makes us go, hey, I want that. I want that. I want us to see today that when we look through the lenses of Scripture, that God really wants us to focus on Him and on people and not just on possessions. Joy and I, we took our family, and I've shared this a little bit, but I want to show you something. We went on a camping trip a couple years ago. We loaded up the minivan, we bought a pop-up trailer, and we Spencer party of five in this little pop-up trailer, and we went out west, and we hit the Badlands, and we hit Custer Park, and then we ended up at Yellowstone, and we spent about 2.5-3 weeks camping. Well, I got a picture of this is our first spot. This is the very first time that we put up our camper and camped on vacation. We practice camped two little times just to know, can we really do this? Can all of us like fit in this camper and all of our stuff and all of our food? And so we had it down. We knew where the food went. We knew where the clothes hung up. I mean, there's five of us in this little camper. So it was like a great game of Tetris, trying to figure out where everything goes. And as the Spencer boys grow up, like the camper is getting tighter and tighter. So, but anyway, we're having a blast. It's our first huge family vacation to do something so adventurous like that. We set it all up. I am one proud dad, one proud husband, one proud like, look, this is our stuff. This is my big vacation. This is the big family memory. And we're like, I take a picture of it. Like, this is it. It's right in the background is the Badlands. I'm like, this is awesome. And, you know, we get everything situated. And then we start fixing dinner that night. And then across the grass, the neighbor starts rolling in. And this guy rolls in into something like this. and we're like, you know, it's rolling in and, you know, and it's like satellite dish comes out, the electric awning. I think they got like an indoor pool in there or something. And immediately I go, oh, I got to have one of those. we got to get one of those. And welcome to coveting your neighbor in a nutshell is I have this, but oh man, I need that. Like that's what I need. I want that. And that's exactly what God says. Hey, let's not live a life of always looking around at other people saying, I just want what they have. And I want us to understand why that's dangerous. I want us to be able to look at that. Maybe you've heard the phrase, thou shalt not covet. You know, I want you to, let me ask you a question. Have you ever peeked across to the person around you and said, wow, maybe you parked next to someone today and you're like, oh, I wish I had their truck. I wish I had their car. Maybe if somebody got their phone out to do their guide, you're like, ooh, they got the latest, greatest cell phone. That's the best cell phone I've ever seen. I wish I had that cell phone. My cell phone, I flip open, you know. No, whatever, I don't know. But there's something in us. It's like, ooh, I want their yard. I want their car. I want their house. I want their spouse. I hope you're not saying that you want their spouse. But actually, people start looking at the things around us. And the next thing you know, like we begin to, what the Bible says is covet. And I want us to understand and dive into that because, well, it's interesting because it made it into the Ten Commandments. Have you ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Coveting is in the Ten Commandments. It's something so important for God to say, when you are my people and you are living my way, I don't want this to be a part of that. The Ten Commandments is a set of biblical principles that God gave to Moses. And then Moses passed it down to the people of Israel, and they were getting ready to escape out of they had escaped out of slavery, and they're getting ready to live this life completely on their own, and they're on this big journey of living on their own. And God says, before you go and just live on your own, let me give you some principles, some rules, some commandments to live by. Now it's an incredible story if you read Exodus, like the way God gives Moses these commandments and he's on these stone tablets. And I want you to sometime go back and read in Exodus chapter 20. But for today's purposes, if you're just wanting to keep notes, you can go to the guide. You can go to the fields.guide and take notes, look through that, and I'll give you some of that. But I want to read you just the list of the Ten Commandments without reading all of Exodus chapter 20 today, just to save some time. because we're only going to deal with the coveting part, but we need to understand this big list of principles that God has for us. So let's take a look at this. The Ten Commandments says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall make no idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Goes on and says, keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet. So those are just little snippets out of the passage of Exodus. So those are just kind of a paraphrased into statements. So if you read the chapter, you're going to see a couple sentences explaining each one of those. But it's interesting, these principles, the first four are all about God. Like don't have idols. You should only have one God. Don't use his name in vain. And everything, the first four of the Ten Commandments is all about honoring and loving God. And then you get in the next four, and it's all about honoring and loving five, six, seven, eight, nine. The next five talk about honoring people and your relationship with people and how you honor them and love them. And then you get to number 10. And so he says, hey, you got to love God with all your heart. And he tells us how to love God. And then he says, oh, you got to love people. Don't murder. No adultery. And he talks about all these things to make sure that we value humanity. And then number 10, I want us to look at more closely. Verse 17 of chapter 20 of Exodus is this. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Now let's get the context here and the time frame that they lived in. These were really nice things. These are people of wealth. They had oxen. They had donkeys. They had servants. Hey, they even had a house. And so in that time period, to have those things, man, they had some really nice stuff. And Moses is telling his people, like, don't have this big burning desire to have what the person next to you has. Don't covet it. It's really interesting because the other ways of treating humans was very very tangible, something you could see. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. These are like physical actions that you would do. But this last one is an inner desire. It's all about the heart. It's this something our heart is craving and wanting and desiring. To covet is to desire something that's belonging to someone else. Now, desire in itself is not bad. Like, I hope we all have good desires for great things. And riches and wealth's not bad. Like, there's nothing, those are neutral. Like, it's okay to have money, and money is useful and all of that. But when we desire it unhealthily, when we desire it more than we desire God, when there's a desire in us to want something we don't have, but our neighbor does have it, God says that's when you start going down a very dangerous road that'll lead to a destruction eventually. And we have to make sure that it's the attitude of coveting and desiring what we don't have. God says that's what we want to avoid. Don't do it. Why would coveting make the Ten Commandment list? That's what I want to get us to. Because coveting your neighbor's stuff, why is that the top 10? Like how we interact with what our neighbor has. How is that so important? I'm going to make it pretty simple. Just two big points today. It's like, why is this so important? Not to covet your neighbor's possessions. Is number one is this, because God cares about people. God cares about people. What's that have to do with coveting? Let me explain this to you. When you and I covet and desire possessions and we're driven by getting things that we don't have but we see other people have, when that's driving inside of us, The desire to get more diminishes our desire to be focused on people. Let me say it this way. If you're focused on what you don't have, it's hard to focus on what others don't have. So there can be a lot of needs around us, people who have got legitimate needs, but we don't even know what they need because we're so focused on what we think we need. And so it hinders how we interact with people. Let me say it another way. Our pursuit to have hinders our pursuit to help. See how this makes sense? If all you're doing is driving in life to get more and to have and to have and to have and to have, then the priority to help and to help and to help and to help, it just diminishes. It really hinders our pursuit to help others when everything in us is just pursuing to have more. Let me say it another way. When we focus on our belongings, we fail to help others belong. See how God cares more about people belonging here than what we have in our own belongings, in our pocket, in our garage, and in our driveway. He cares more that people belong to the kingdom of God and they're part of his family. He wants people to feel welcomed, and God cares that your neighbors have a sense of belonging in the kingdom of God much more than he cares about our belongings, our possessions, and what we have. Focusing on possessions really takes our focus off of people. And that's why it's in the top 10 list of God telling his people, this is how I want you to live. I want you to be focused on one another. Focus on your fellow person next to you, your neighbor. Don't focus on your possessions or their possessions. I think if we get just really serious, it's God knows the inner desires of how he created us, and he knows that we wrestle with this stuff. We don't speak on it a lot because it's just so personal. Like, you and I know that we probably covet something every day. Like, there's a desire to always have more and want more. And God knows that there's this inner desire, and this inner desire of coveting for more will eventually erode the relationships that we have. He wants us healthy. He wants you healthy. I hope that's why you're here today. I hope that's why someone invited you here today. I hope that's why you're sitting in Charleston today. Because God, you know that God wants you to be healthy. And so he loves your relationships with one another and greeting each other out in the lobby and connecting. And the relationships is so much important than what we have. He wants us to love one another and care for one another. And if all we're doing is looking at our neighbor and coveting what they have and what we don't have, then we start focusing on the wrong things. We're focusing on possessions, not on people. It'll distract us off course. You will get so distracted in life if all you're worried about is what you don't have and what somebody else has. That is not God's mission for us. That's not the purpose of our life, to make a difference in someone else's life. That's what we live for, not so we can get more stuff that other people have. And we look at and we watch that commercial, and we're like, oh, I need to have that. It's hard to live a mission being a good neighbor if we're always wanting our neighbor's achievements. It's hard to be a good neighbor if we're jealous of our neighbor. That's tough to hear. I know it's hard to be a good person when we're jealous of the people around us. But there's some of us in our rooms today where you're sitting. We're struggling with jealousy. We're struggling with always wanting what somebody else has. I think we just end up being jealous of the Joneses. Oh, I got to keep up with the Joneses. Got to keep up with the Joneses. And we end up being jealous of the Joneses instead of loving the Joneses. And God calls us to love our neighbor, not be jealous of our neighbor. We just got to hear that. We got to hear that. If we're going to be a good neighbor, we got to love our neighbor, not be jealous of our neighbor. And that's why coveting is in the top 10 of these great commandments. And what happens is we get so focused on what we want. The other day I caught myself, I was on my phone and I was on Facebook or something. I'm doing my thing. Okay. I was texting a couple people, I was responding to a couple people. I was just totally focused on what I wanted, and one of my sons came up behind me, just kind of gave me a hug, and I remember just going, "Hey, buddy," right back at it. Literally, like later that night, same thing. I was on my phone, scroll, Facebook, waste a bunch of time, look. Oh, I want that. Ooh, nice vacation. I wish I had their vacation. Ooh. I just, same son comes up, gives me a hug. "Hey, buddy." And God said, I'll just be super honest. God like knocked on my head and said, "Your son just came up behind you and gave you a hug twice. And you kind of pushed him off because all you were focused on is what you were looking at." And I literally put my phone down and I reached around and I just gave him the biggest bear hug. "Go, buddy, I'm so sorry. You just came up and hugged me twice, and I didn't give you the attention. I wasn't hearing the cues to be a dad and the parenting, and I knew that I missed it." Like, if we get so busy at looking at what we want to look at, we miss the clues and we miss God's cues to get involved in somebody else's life. And what happens is we have to quit looking at other stuff and start just focusing on what matters most, and that's the people in our life. The second reason I think this is why it's a Ten Commandment is this point here is God cares that you care about Him. God cares that you love Him. God cares how you treat Him. God cares about your relationship with Him. God cares how you care about Him. In the Ten Commandments, I didn't read all the little sentences explaining some of these, but verse 4 says this. He goes, "I, the Lord your God, I am a jealous God." Jealous. "Who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods." In other words, don't be cheating on me. Don't be cheating on me with your stuff and your desires. And don't want something else more than you want me. That's what he's saying. I'm a jealous God. Like, you're my kids. I've created you. But you've got to show me devotion. It's you and me. Don't be bringing in a bunch of other stuff that competes. So coveting our neighbor's stuff takes our eyes off of God. And we start to want that stuff more than we want Him. Let me simplify this. It happens in steps. Step number one is, first we stare. Ooh, look at that. Ooh. It's like you take notice. Look at that car. Look at that Facebook post of those people on vacation. Wow, look at that. So we stare. You know you've done it. And then what happens is, after we stare, we compare. Oh, look at that. Look at that pop-up trailer. Look at that RV. Like, we start comparing. I wish I could go on that trip. I wish I had that car. I wish. And we start comparing. Like, I wish my spouse would be just as good as that person's spouse. And I wish they would listen to me like that person's. And all of a sudden, very dangerous. We start comparing. And after we start comparing, then we begin to want. Oh, I want that. Like, something bubbles up inside of us. Oh, I want that. I want it. And then after the desire of wanting it happens, then it goes into the mind. And then we begin to prioritize. Like, I want that, and so I'm going to be able to get it, and I'm going to pay for it, and I'm going to trade it. And we begin to prioritize things over God and people. Like, this is so important. I'm willing to work more hours and be away from my kids so I can have that. Or I'm willing to, you know, trade that or look the other way. Or my integrity slips a little bit because it's just worth it because I can get a little bit more out of my taxes and whatever. We begin to prioritize the stuff more than people and God. And then not only is it the mind thing, but then it drops into the heart. And then we begin to desire things. Now we're desiring things more than God and people. It's a desire of, I want that more than I want God and other people. Now, we don't really say that. We're not honest enough with ourselves to actually say these words. I desire that more than I desire God and more than I desire the relationships in my life. But the reality is, that's what's happening. Our heart is burning with desire to go after those things. So first it was our mind we begin to prioritize. Now it's our heart that we're now, that we are, you know, we are desiring it. And the next thing you know, now we're worshiping idols. We're beginning to worship these things more than we worship God. See, it's like a mind thing, then a heart thing, and now it's a soul thing. It's a soul issue. We begin worshiping idols instead of worshiping God. And when that happens, we're in big trouble. Because now we've made the switch. Stuff over God. And that's why God says, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's ox, servant, house, lawnmower, boat, vacation, spouse, job, anything. Don't covet those things. Because you're going to first stare, then you're going to compare, then you're going to want it, then you're going to prioritize it, then you're going to have a desire for it, then you're going to go get it, and then you're going to start worshiping that instead of worshiping God. And God says, let's make this a pretty big, important thing. Let's just tell our people, do not covet the neighbor's stuff. So what's the solution to coveting? One word for us. Commitment. Contentment. We got to be content. Content. We got to know that what we have is good and what we have is enough. And so we got to be content with our possessions and our positions. Like the things that we have and the titles and our position, our possessions and our positions, we have to be content with. And I know in the room right now we're going, but Travis, that's so hard. It's so hard to be content. Like, I know it's hard. I know it's hard. Just the other day, a month ago, I was in the office, and a creative arts pastor, Christian Lamb, he's got his little ear pods on. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. I'm like, okay, I got some Christmas money. Oh, look what Travis got. Travis got ear pods now. Why has Travis got these? Because I wasn't very content with my mind with wires. I don't want to get the wire. You know, and so that's what happens. I get it. Like, I'm in your seat right now. I understand the battle and in the tension of just being content with what we have. But it's a God thing. Like, God says, it's okay. We got to draw the line at places and say, what we have is good and it's a blessing. So if we're struggling with being content with our possessions and our positions, I can guarantee you this is where we need to go then. It all starts with being content with your relationship with God. Let me read you something. It says this: we live in a constant state of consumption, but there's a difference between being full and being fulfilled. And the full, being full is just stuff. Being fulfilled is knowing that your relationship with God is fulfilling. And it's just right. And it's just enough. And your desire of God is more than desiring anything else. Being content in your relationship with God is the answer. That's the solution. It all starts right there. People who are lacking contentment, you have to ask yourself, have I really allowed God, have I really surrendered it all to God? Have I surrendered it all to God? A couple of verses for us to see today. David writes this in Psalms. He says this: whom have I in heaven but you, God? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. I desire you, God, more than I desire anything else. Like, keep that down. Psalm 73, 25 chapters. Write that down. Email that to yourself in your notes. Another verse I want us to see out of Hebrews is this: don't love money, be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I'll never abandon you. God's never going to leave you. He said, don't be in this pursuit of more of stuff and what the world gives us. He says, be satisfied. Be satisfied. Listen, I know that we all want to be good people. I get that. I know that you want to be a good neighbor. I know you want to help people. Like, I love that about us. I know that about us. I know that you want to be a good neighbor. So let's just make sure that we're more focused on God than we are anything else in this life. Let me leave you with this today. An innocent desire for more can actually leave you very empty. And when we're always trying to get more, be very careful that that road leads to emptiness. The devil will trick you every single time. So that's why God says, in the Ten Commandments to the people who are getting ready to live life on their own. Hey, and the last one, love God with all your heart. Gives them four ways to love God. He gives them five commandments on how to honor people. And then he says, and now let's deal with the heart. Make sure you're not coveting, desiring things more than you desire me. It all begins with putting Jesus first in your life. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, like you've been to church, but have you really surrendered it all to God? Have you really invited Jesus into your life? That's where it starts. I want to desire relationship with Jesus more than I desire having more stuff. We're going to pray for that in just a moment. And the other thing I want you to ask is ask God if you just need to be content in a few areas of your life. In fact, close your eyes with me right now. Just close your eyes. Begin to think about that. One, do you need Jesus in your life? And then two, is there areas of your life that you're dealing with contentment? Ask God to help you to be content in who you are and what you have and in your relationship with Him. Let's pray together.